The Environmental Protection Agency is the latest body to warn that Ireland will not meet its target of reducing carbon emissions by 51% by 2030. It's predicting a reduction of just 29%. It says Ireland is the second worst emitter of carbon in the EU after Luxembourg. The agency's Director General, Laura Burke, is here. Good morning. You're very welcome. Will the country even manage a 29% reduction?
Well, the EPA is the competent body in Ireland to determine what, based on all of the policies and plans that are in place and planned, what emission projections of greenhouse gases will be by 2030. What we're seeing is if all of the plans and policies that are anticipated are in place and deliver in full, we'll get a 29% reduction. Mm-hmm. That will be an incredibly significant achievement, but not enough. So I think it's not guaranteed we'll hit the 29%, but there are policies in place or planned in order to deliver on it. But a lot of work still needs to go in place. And I think the issue for us then is we're seeing there's a big gap then from 29% up to a 51% target for our national ambition, or a 42% target for the EU. So I suppose overall what we're saying, a lot there, an awful lot to be delivered, but not enough, and we need to do more and we need to do faster.
This time last year, the figure was 29% as well from the EPA. So have we made zero progress in that time?
What we're seeing is marginal ups and downs in the context of the projections, but overall what we're seeing is the result is the same. Now, that's based on the Climate Action Plan 2024 that was published at the end of December. What I would say with regard to that is we can't include everything that's in the Climate Action Plan because policies haven't been developed. So, for example, the biomethane strategy that was just talked about, that's not included because there wasn't enough information there. Things like diversification in agriculture isn't included. So there's opportunities for further plans and policies, but I suppose our overarching message here is you need to deliver what's there as well as add on.
That's what you have to work on, the implementation, the outward results of the policies. And yet, as you say, that zero carbon homegrown grass, gas from grass, we're repeatedly told an awful lot is being done.
And I think things are being done, and I think it's really important to recognise that as well. And if you look, even last year, emissions from electricity sector were down 24%. So that was kind of a very, very significant achievement. We're seeing changes in farming practices. We're also seeing things like more electric vehicles on the road. So things are being done. Mm-hmm. I suppose what we're seeing is we're in that transition phase. It keeps coming back to we need to move faster.
Was 51% too ambitious in the first place, maybe?
There's always this balance of you need a high target in order to try and go for something. It's better to reach for a star and miss it sort of idea. But I think between the 51%, which is the national, but at 42% is our EU obligation. Mm-hmm. So we are legally obliged, yes, for the national, but also at an EU. And that's where we really just need to move more towards those targets.
So some specifics in the various sectors in relation to transport. Do you want the government to increase the price of petrol and diesel again? They have already. There's another rise due. Do you want a plan for more increases between now and 2030?
Ultimately, it's for government to determine the policy. And that's what our job is, to take a look at all of the actions and effectively say, do the sum of the parts kind of match the level of ambition? So government need to decide what are the appropriate levers in each sector. And I would be saying each and every sector in order to deliver. From an EPA perspective, we don't determine and say it should be X or it should be Y. But what we're saying is the results of the policies aren't showing the level of ambition needed.
But is there any prospect that petrol and diesel cars will be phased out by 2030? Doesn't seem like that at this point in time.
I think you see more electric vehicles on the roads. I think it was 19% of new car sales last year were EVs, hybrid cars.
But the market in that seems to be collapsing elsewhere in the world.
There is definitely has been a wobble with regard to it. But there is still time. And actually, when you look at the EPA projections, we are still on track with regard to EVs and at that very high level. Now, it is very ambitious to be hitting almost 1 million EVs by the end of the decade. But we are still on track. What happens internationally, of course, will have an impact. But you're also seeing prices coming down of EVs. You're seeing different brands available, smaller, EVs with longer ranges, etc. So, there's a lot happening in this space, and there's a huge opportunity. That's the other piece that we, you know, we tend to talk when we're talking about the projections, we're talking about, you know, what's not happening. But there's also huge economic opportunity. There's huge opportunities for win-wins with regard to health and the environment, the air we breathe, rather than standing, or, you know, standing in cities with diesel cars and petrol cars blowing out fumes. So I think it is to look at the opportunity there as well.
What is happening in agriculture? Because the use of fertilizer had dropped primarily because the price of it was so high. Has its use gone up again?
Well, these are about the projections into the future. So we're still looking at the emissions from 2023 and looking at what happened there. We do have the electricity figures, we don't have the rest. Certainly what we've seen over the last number of years is a change, a reduction in the amount of fertiliser used. Whether that is sustained, it's reduction of the amount and the type. Mm-hmm. So fertiliser will always be needed, but we need protected urea, different types of fertiliser. So that is still to be seen, but there's been very positive movements, for example, as I said, in fertiliser and things like slurry spreading and a kind of a more environmentally sustainable slurry spreading as well.
We heard earlier this month, actually, from the Climate Change Advisory Council about how our renewable electricity generation remains well below what is needed to meet the demand and the emissions targets. How soon must oil be phased out?
Well, the first thing was to phase out coal and peat.
Coal is meant to be going next year.
And that is incredibly important because that has a disproportionate impact on emissions. Moneypoint alone in 2022 emitted around 2 million tonnes of greenhouse gases. So that's the critical bit. After that, it is phasing out oil and gas. Yes, it needs to happen. We need more renewables. We're at 40% at the moment, which is, again, it's significant, but we need to be getting up to 80%.
Because it's hard to imagine at this point, again, realistically, how we would have sufficient renewables to fill the space left by oil and gas.
And this is what needs to be balanced. Now, you need to move away from the kind of the worst emitters, first of all, and then move down the chain. And also in the context of moving away from coal and Moneypoint to oil, so that you can have only be using that type of facility when all of the others have been maxed out, for want of a better word. So we need to do it. We need to do it fast. But of course, this balance of also keeping the lights on and the interconnection and using electricity from other countries, as is the kind of the aim around Europe, is a very important part of that, so that you can balance the needs across the country.
OK, for now, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. The Director General of the Environmental Protection Agency, Laura Burke.